You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. It is Friday. Oh, thank God.
Woo!
Thank God Friday has finally arrived. Kevin and Bean are on vacation. They'll be back Monday morning, so we are playing for you the best of Kevin and Bean. Best not included. And I'm still here, though, doing live showbiz beats for you each and every hour, so I wanted to give you a heads up on what's new in the world of Hollywood. Here's what's happening. Matthew McConaughey has just announced that he's having yet another baby with his new bride, Camilla Alves. They've got two kids already, a little boy named Levi, who turns four tomorrow, and a two-year-old daughter named Vita, and they've got another one in the oven, so congratulations to Matthew. That's how I keep looking so good, running around after the babies. Johnny Depp has announced his split from his girlfriend, Vanessa Paradis, but insiders say things started going south way back in 2010. Us Weekly magazine reports that she was angry at Johnny because she felt like she had sacrificed her career for his. And friends say that he just couldn't make her happy. She would complain if he worked too much and then call him a slob if he took time off. So it was a lose-lose situation for Johnny, and now he's banging lesbians. So everything's worked out for him. Mike, the situation Sorrentino. Sobriety has had a positive effect on him, say friends. Instead of going around picking up skanks in bars, he now has one special skank he spends all of his time with, a young lady named Paula Pickard. She is 7 years younger than the sitch at 23. She's a model. Sure she is. Yeah. Anyone can say they're a model these days. Most models are the girls who bring you bottles for table service at some club someplace. So, looks like Taylor Swift has found love in a strange place with a younger man. She is just 22 years old today. Not today, but 22 years old. And her new boyfriend apparently is 18 years old. Patrick Schwarzenegger. Over the holiday weekend, photographers caught her taking a romantic stroll with the 18-year-old son of the governor. And she was hanging out with several members of the Kennedy clan there in their summer compound. So Patrick Schwarzenegger, 18 years old, hooking up with Taylor Swift at 22. Score, Patrick Schwarzenegger. Must have some of the old man's genes in him. Come with me if you want to bone. Chris Martin has announced that he will never, never, never collaborate with Justin Bieber. Oh, God bless you, Chris Martin. But it's not for the reason that you think. It's not because Coldplay is talented and Justin Bieber's crap. But it's because Justin Bieber's too good-looking and young. And Chris Martin said it would make Coldplay look like grandpas. And they're just not interested in opening themselves up for that kind of abuse. Who can say that you blame them? Donald Trump has announced there is an all-star version of The Celebrity Apprentice in the works. Here are the stars that are possibly going to end up on the all-star list. Now, keep in mind, this is The Celebrity Apprentice, so all-star has an ironic connotation to it. Trace Atkins, Omarosa, Gene Simmons, Lennox Lewis, Meatloaf, Jesse James, Gary Busey, Marley Matlin, Sharon Osbourne, Cyndi Lauper, Marilu Henner, and Dennis Rodman, apparently, is the that's the priority list of people to put in this all-star edition. Now, I would say just get Gary Busey and Marley Matlin in the room, and I would watch that for 10 seasons. Two people who can't understand each other.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Congratulations to The Amazing Spider-Man. It's going to be a huge movie this weekend. Its first 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, it's already pulled in an amazing $59.3 million. That's pretty close to the Transformers, which made $65.8 million in its 2 days of release. So almost $60 million in just the first 2 days. So that's not counting yesterday or today or what it's going to make this weekend. So I can only imagine. I mean, it could potentially make close to $100 million in its opening weekend, which would, you know, given the fact it started halfway into the week, gives it a head start, but still, it's an amazing amount of money. So we'll talk about more of that later today. I'm going to do a special movie beat and tell you what's new in theaters this weekend. And it looks like they're very close to naming Regis Philbin's replacement on Live with Kelly Ripa. Looks like Saturday Night Live cast member Seth Meyers is currently the front runner to succeed Regis. Also in the mix, Josh Groban and Michael Strahan, former NFL star and star of Fox Morning Show over there during the football season. The new co-host will reportedly be named before the fall season begins in September. If he's picked, Seth tells the website Showbiz 411 that he'll have to give up his job as Saturday Night Live's head writer, but he would still host the show's weekend update segment, so he gets to keep his gig. Not too shabby. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
50 Cent.
He's 37 years old today. Actor Jeffrey Rush, one of my favorites. Super talented guy, 61 years old. Sylvester Stallone, he's 66 years old, as is former President George W. Bush. Look at Sylvester Stallone and look at George W. Bush side by side. Same age. One guy looks like he would break a hip if he fell down. The other guy looks like he could break your hip by looking at you. So just goes to show you. Take more HGH, people. It's good for you. Robin from the TV show Batman, Burt Ward, is 67 years old today. Ned Beatty, very talented actor, is 75. And the Dalai Lama is 77 years old today. The Dalai Lama walked into a pizza parlor, and he said, "Make me one with everything."
Oh, man, I got to file that. Is there a file when the guys are off?
No, there's no file. Oh. I'm file proof. Oh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I thought you said over your dead body would Jason Biggs be allowed in this building again, Ralph? What's going on? How did he slip through security?
Well, I thought I said the Giants will have to win the Super Bowl before I let him back in this building. Little did I know they'd win it twice.
Since I saw Jason, they have won it twice.
Oh, right.
But the Eagles have won it.
Do you have enough fingers?
On your fingers?
Do you have enough fingers?
They've never won a Super Bowl.
Oh, boy. But at least they have a nice new fancy field for all those victories that they've accumulated.
Victories being the key word.
Hey, look at that. Hey, recap the bet that happened between you two just quickly.
Years ago, I don't know what Jason was in promoting at the time. Was it
something we didn't see?
Yeah, either something you didn't see or an American Pie movie.
No, I did see it. What was the one where you worked at the dog? With the animal.
Oh, Eight Below.
That was it. Right, yeah, I think it may have been it. And so he's a diehard New York Giants fan. I'm a diehard Eagles fan. And it's a legendary rivalry in the NFC East. So we made a little wager. Whatever team had the better record that season, the other guy would wash the other guy's car in a dressed up as a cheerleader from that team.
Right.
And that particular season, the Eagles did a little bit better than the Giants.
They fared better than the G-Men.
And I got to tell you, we were a little surprised that you paid up. You showed up, dressed up,
and did it.
Are you kidding? Well, first of all, I'm a publicity whore, so of course any opportunity to to get involved. But
sure.
No, listen, I'm a man of my word.
You are,
and listen, it's Ralph and I will I'll be back. It's the first of many wagers, I'm sure.
I'm saying,
plus,
if you want to bet on something this
you
coming
can't
season,
let's do it. Biggs either.
Let's do it. I feel great about the G-Men coming into 2012.
You do.
2013.
You're not afraid of that Super Bowl hangover at all? Huh?
I'm not. I'm not at all. We made the playoffs the year after.
Did you see the pictures of fat Eli Manning that they were running in the magazines?
Oh, on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, not very fat.
No, yeah. But he does look like an accountant.
But that was the headline.
The thing about
Eli Manning.
My favorite thing about Eli Manning is in his uniform, everything seems like a little too big. Like, he seems like a kid that's dressed up as Eli Manning for Halloween.
Right. Yes.
You know, like
the giant helmet,
the shoulder pads that go on forever, and he just looks like an 8-year-old.
We make fun of him because he does seem like he's short bus.
Yeah.
He breathes a little short bus. Yeah.
Little special needs there, Eli.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Jason, did you go to the game? Were you in Indianapolis when they
went? I went to the championship game in NFC Championship in San Francisco,
right,
which was awesome. I took my old man. We went out, had a blast. And that game was incredible, by the way.
Incredible game.
And I had never been to Candlestick Park, which was cool. And then, but I couldn't go to the Super Bowl. I had publicity stuff to do. I couldn't go. But
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, very excited.
And you guys ought to put your heads together and come up with a good wager then for this season. If you're serious
I'm
about
feeling good about this season.
So that's perfect grounds for a bet. So the question is, what's the wager, you know?
Yeah, we got to think of something.
We'll think about it in between
the breaks. Maybe we'll come up with something.
Is your wife hot?
Yes,
actually she is. Yeah,
she is, Jason.
All right, my wife's yours? Hot. I'm just wondering.
Your wife's
way
hot. That's
a
great idea.
All right,
little swapsies.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that and not talk to them about it. That'll go over well at home, I think.
My wife doesn't care. Screw it,
honey. Here's Jason.
What? Wasn't in fact your wife who got you the hooker in Vegas?
Oh,
wasn't that
boy.
What happened?
If
I remember that story correctly.
Yeah, you're psyched on this wager, aren't you?
She's a good time, apparently.
Yeah, she's good fun, man.
I read that article. It was a great story about how she tried to acquire a hooker for you in Vegas.
That's right. Yeah, comedy of errors. She's going to make a great first wife, guys. I really am. So far, she's doing all the right things.
That's great.
Doing all the right things.
You need a good starter wife.
Jason Biggs is here. American Reunion is the movie. It's been impossible to avoid. And, man, are people excited about the whole gang getting back together again. Now, I guess I didn't realize until Ralph brought it up the other day that there have been lots of movies in between that we kind of didn't know about that were on the down low. But this is a real deal.
There's like 74 sequels that went straight to DVD.
That's a slight exaggeration. There were 56.
But you were in Pi. You were in Pi 2. You were in Wedding. And then you checked out and said no more, right?
Yeah, well, the studio decided that they would make these straight-to-DVD films, which, from a business standpoint, turns out was good, I guess. Those things cost 8 cents to make. And,
and seven goes to Eugene Levy.
And seven went to Eugene. Yeah. Eugene has the best line about doing those movies. He's like, it would have been irresponsible of me to not do those movies. As the head of my family, it would have been incredibly irresponsible.
None of the rest of you felt that way.
I don't have a family yet,
right.
And I'm not responsible yet. So,
right.
But, you know, so they made these movies, and I haven't seen them. I've heard enough about them, though. But, you know, listen, they are what they are, and if anything, they gave some fans out there, the younger kids, a new American Pie movie, you know, every couple of years or however, whenever they were churning them out. And
kept the franchise alive.
Yeah, gave it some breath. Now some of those kids, this will be their first movie, American Pie movie, they get to see in the theaters.
Now, let me ask you this, because it seems a little bit scary. And my reaction when I first heard American Reunion is, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with the franchise.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is because a lot of times it just seems to fall apart.
Oh, 1,000%.
It's just a shadow of the first couple of movies.
Cash grab.
But everything I'm hearing about this movie is the opposite of that.
Yeah. To be clear, it is a cash grab.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah. I mean, there's cash involved.
Right.
No, it is. I say this, obviously, I have a slightly biased opinion, but I can be pretty objective when I say it's the best one since the first one. These guys, John and Hayden, the writer-directors from the Harold and Kumar franchise, they are big fans of this of the franchise. And they came in and they were like, we want to take this back to the first movie. That tone, the energy, structurally, they brought all of the characters back. Everybody's
people,
back.
Right.
And, you know, it really, I mean, that's the concern about, you know, tarnishing the franchise. That, for us, as a cast and a group of filmmakers, that was happening after the first movie. We're like, we shouldn't come, but should we do another one?
If you're lucky enough to score once big, you don't want to test fate.
Yeah,
right?
No, exactly. And I really think this takes it back to the energy of the first movie. Yeah.
Even from the trailer, you can tell that it has the same spirit and sort of comic possibility that the first one had.
Yeah.
Just by those little clips. I'm so excited about this film.
Thanks, man.
But you guys are all grown up now, so you're not the sex-crazed losers that some of you were in the first movie. What's the struggle for the characters this time around?
Sex-crazed.
Older sex-crazed losers.
Well, yeah, especially for my character, Jim, it turns out that sex is still a it's still a thing.
Still a motivating factor.
Yeah, the update here, the give is that he, you know, now he, well, he's married. We know he's married.
Right.
But now he has a kid. And they're newly parents, and they're trying to navigate that sort of, you know, they're trying to figure out how to still be husband and wife and sex and everything and be parents. And
I've learned? Parents wins.
And it should. And
Jim, you do have more alone time sexually than you do as when you're just a couple when there's a kid around.
Right. You got to work at it a little bit harder, I think. And that's the thing that Jim and Michelle don't realize at first. And so, consequently, Jim is sexually frustrated, which, by the way, that's what he was in the first movie.
Right.
It's just in the first movie he needed to lose his virginity. He couldn't get any because he didn't have anyone. Now he can't get any because he has someone and has someone else.
Go ahead. On that topic, Ralph said he paid you a tremendous compliment on the show earlier this week when he was talking about the famous nude scene that you do in American Reunion.
Oh.
Ralph, what were you saying?
I don't remember. What did I say?
You,
I was probably drunk when I said that.
There's no way, you would ever want to be naked. Yeah.
I was reading the story about your scene, and I said, it takes a certain kind of actor, it takes a certain bravery as an actor to be able to do that, that I do not possess, that I would never be able to do it in a million years. It takes a certain lack of vanity and ability to go for the joke and just commit completely and just be able to bear yourself literally in front of all those people and just do that.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
There's only a few guys who really could do it, I think. Like Will Ferrell always seems to be very comfortable with how he looks.
Yep.
And it's to your credit that you're willing to go for the joke and make that happen.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I also have the luxury, too, with this character and these American Pie movies of seeing what has worked and knowing what the audience expects from the character.
Right.
We know that Jim needs to get into these situations. We know that we need to push the boundaries. So
do you go over to the director and go, hey, how about some CGI help with this?
Hannigan likes to joke that it was a magnified pot lid that I had on mine. And that's why she's a bitch.
It's funny you should say that, because we're going to have her on the
floor. Yeah, I know. I need to have it out with her. It's the only part of American Reunion that was shot in 3D.
Let me ask you one more question before we break, and then we are going to come back with your movie wife, Allison Hannigan. And that is sometimes actors just say, screw it, I'm just going to walk around naked on the set, whatever. And then some go to great lengths to cover up so that they're actually not technically nude. Which way did you go?
The former. I have no problem with it all hanging out. I liked doing this one thing where when the actors were, you know, if I was working a day and one of the other actors was not working, I would take my balls out and put them on their their chairs where it says their name, their director's chair. I would do that. I especially like doing that for Eddie because he just seemed to deserve it more than anyone else.
Would you take pictures then, post it in their dressing room?
We would take pictures and then I'd send it to. I actually did that. My neighbor Sean White, the snowboarder, he always screws with me and Jenny at our house because we're literally right there, and he like cut down a tree in his yard and threw it into my pool.
Sweet.
Threw it into my pool, which was fine because then he was out of town, I think, like at the X Games or winning gold medal somewhere or something. And so his housekeeper was, and I was like, I need to go into Sean's house. And she's like, okay. And I was like, don't worry about it. And I go into his house and I bring my wife and I whip my balls out and put them on his pillow. And then we take a picture. And then he comes home like that night, you know, goes to sleep, wakes up the next day. And I see him. I'm like, hey, buddy, must have been nice sleeping in your own bed again. He's like, oh, you have no idea. And then I texted him the picture.
That's awesome. You sure you want to make a bet with this man, Ralph?
I don't know anymore. I'm afraid of where his sack may show up in my life.
All right. Jason Biggs is here. We could not be more excited about the American Reunion movie. It opens everywhere today. When we come back, we're going to get Allison on the phone, too, and I want to find out, are you guys really going to have it out, or do we have an issue here? Is there a problem?
Game on.
That'll happen next here on the Kevin DeBee. Jason Biggs in studio with us right now. The movie is called American Reunion. We're going to talk to his movie wife, Allison Hannigan, in a second. Hey, true or false, you really did get attacked by a monkey?
True.
Really?
True. I mean, listen, attack is a strong word.
You still have a face.
Yeah.
So it couldn't have been that bad.
Yeah, my face is still here. We were in Gibraltar, and... the Rock of Gibraltar fame.
Yeah.
And,
that one.
All that Gibraltar.
Yeah. Well, okay. There's just to be clear.
Right.
And, they have these monkeys that the island is famous for.
Are they smallish?
They're smallish, okay. but their species name is called Barbary apes. So it sounds really.
Wow.
And you get off, you take this tram up, and you get off, and there's signs everywhere with like pictures of the and like their mouths are open and with like sharp razor like teeth like coming out. It's like
saying what?
Saying like don't touch them, feed
watch
them.
Okay.
Just we like warning, like they're monk wild animals still.
But best movie.
And listen, as far as handies go, they give a good one.
Yeah, that's good to know.
They give a good one. So it was pretty wild. So yeah, my wife, of course, wanting to, you know, get them to come near us, started like, she's like, do you have any food or chips in your bag? I'm like, no. In fact, that's exactly the opposite of what we're supposed to do, sweetheart. And she's like, I know. And,
but she still wanted
it. Yeah, exactly. And she's like, well, how else will we get them near us? And so, she had a tampon in her bag. And so she was like, if I wrinkle this up, you know, keep it hidden in my bag, maybe they'll think it's a bag of chips or something. And they'll come running. Well, it worked. It worked.
They came running.
She was rustling the wrapper or something? And then they jump on me. Literally one, I'm just standing there, one jumped out, just like all of a sudden I felt like 30
Sweet.
Pound weight on my back. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, but this, the best was the one monkey, sorry, Barbary 8th, actually jumped on her purse, pulled the tampon out of her hand and her bag, started running, opened it, started running away with it, put it in its mouth. We got all these great photos
wow.
of it. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah. Who invites a monkey to jump on them? Most people don't want
he
that.
He didn't invite it. His
yeah.
wife.
My
his
wife did, though.
My crazy wife invited this monkey to play. And listen, I got a good hand job out of the deal.
Oh,
so
would you please
okay.
with that? We can't really say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
So
speaking of crazy wives,
wouldn't it
how
be
about
funny
your...
if the monkey though was on its period and needed the tampon?
That would be very
that
funny.
Would be awesome. Yeah.
That would have been a
how fortuitous
spectacular ending. Yes. Speaking of crazy wives, how about your movie wife joining us here on the Kevin DeBean Show right now? She is Michelle in the movie American Reunion, opening everywhere today. But we know her and love her as the beautiful Allison Hannigan. Hi, Allison.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Allison.
How are you?
Oh, I missed you, Kevin and Bean.
We miss
Ralph.
You, too.
And oh, yeah, you, Jason.
Hey.
Hi, Jace.
Hi, babe.
You don't miss us enough to come here and spend time with us.
Well, I'm walking the streets of New York City.
Oh, you're in New York. Oh, that's why you're not
yes.
here. Oh.
Yeah.
We thought you were just big and pregnant and didn't want to be here.
Well, that, too. But I would have if I were at home.
How pregnant are you right now, Allison?
I'm 12 months pregnant.
12 months is a lot.
12 months. I'm going to have a baby elephant.
Okay. I don't think that math is right. I don't think that math is right. I'm not a mom or dad or anything, but
12 months seems wrong to you?
What do I know?
I don't know. I've got the belly to prove it. Well. No, I still have a couple months to go, which is surprising to me because I'm pretty sure it's going to be a watermelon.
Yeah. How
have you seen, don't you, have you seen have pictures a little of Allison from the premiere?
Have I have not.
Sorry?
Amazing.
No,
Allison at the red carpet of American Reunion looks unbelievable.
For a fat chick, you mean?
Yeah, oh. I mean, for a fat chick. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's a huge... There's a huge asterisk next to that comment, obviously, but no.
I just like being able to have pizza before a red carpet. That
nice.
Was really fun. Yeah.
Now, you have a little one already at home. Your daughter can't be that old, right?
She just turned 3.
And what's she think about all this?
She's very excited. She rubs my tummy and talks to the baby and, you know, buys teddy bears. I mean... I buy
she has money, yeah.
You put her to work already?
She takes the car. Well, she goes to the mall.
What sweatshop does she work at, Allison?
She makes iPods.
Yes, exactly.
Imagine how old those kids are going to have to be before they can see one frame of American Reunion based on the clips that I've seen.
Oh, my
Eight.
Gosh. 80.
80. 8 yeah. and 80. That's 80. The difference between you two.
That's why, that's why we're all going to worry when Jason has children.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm already, because I was thinking about this, like, what if I have a daughter, right? Mm-hmm. I'd be psyched, okay?
Right.
Well, you know, nowadays, too, so much, like, I could picture her at 11 years old, 12, you know, coming home from school and being like, Dad, my friend Jessica said she saw your penis on TV last night.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And I'll be like, is your friend Jessica hot?
Oh, stop it. You wouldn't say that.
Sorry. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that.
No, but you would try to ascertain it without saying it.
Yeah, I would look at her little yearbook or whatever.
You know what? As long as she says she saw it on TV and not in the bathroom, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
this is a good point, Al.
So, instead of by the trash cans outside in the driveway.
Somehow I picture Jason walking around naked all the time, though.
Yeah.
Don't you? All the time at home. Just
absolutely. And driving a van with no windows.
Well,
sure.
He's putting his sack on everybody's director's chair. Who knows what he's doing there, you know.
Al, for the record, I never did that to your chair.
It's sack terrorism. That's what's going on.
Before we go, I have to ask. Now, you guys have known each other a long time. You've kind of grown up together in this business. I mean, in terms
yeah,
of the,
and it
you know,
feels
these...
even longer.
What's it like to play movie husband and wife? Is it at all weird to do some of the things you have to do in the movie because you are actual friends out of school?
No, I feel like, I mean, Jason's such a wonderful acting partner, and it really is just like playing a fantastic game of tennis where you can just hit the ball back and forth, and you have such trust, and it's just, it's a pleasure.
Oh,
wow.
I
but
agree.
Don't tell him that.
Jason, why are you putting your finger in your mouth like you're throwing up? Why are you doing that?
Al, I'm not doing that. I am putting a fake gun to my temple. But no. Al, that's so sweet, and I could not agree more. We get along so well. We have like a shorthand with each other. And
absolutely.
It's just so much fun. And
this
she,
cast from the beginning seems like it's just tailor-made to work together.
We really gel in a great
It's probably easier because you have some history than if you had to play a scene with some stranger you're playing a husband and wife.
No, totally. And, you know, Al, I mean...
Is it awkward that it is your actual baby? And she's carrying
you're comfortable with someone when the first day of work, for me, was telling Jason how to adjust his penis.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No. It's got to go a little more to the right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was her first day of filming.
It's not your good side.
That was her first day of filming, was the penis scene.
Oh, wow.
She walks in, and she literally was like, even because I couldn't, I didn't have the right angle.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and she's like, Jason, you really should, you know, try 2 o'clock. Try 1:30. Like, and I'm like, 1:30? I don't have a minute hand, too.
All right, last question, and I don't know that I've ever seen this addressed or written anywhere, but has there ever been a cast hookup in all the years you guys have been doing the
you know movies? What? You know, there's not. There might.
Do you want to tell them about you and Eddie?
Oh, well, yeah.
A little bit.
Eddie and I have a friendship that, you know...
Goes beyond
yeah. the normal boundaries.
It transcends decorum.
It transcends normalcy.
Not everybody understands your love.
Yeah, not everybody understands.
Look, you were young. We all experiment.
Yeah, and even now when I'm not young, it's...
Right.
I still feel like it's a lifelong experiment, Ralph. We haven't gotten the results we've been looking for, really, so we've been...
staying in the lab late hours.
I'm still wearing my lab coat, and... It's had to been run through the wash a couple of times, but
sure.
No hookups, right?
I don't think so. I mean, not that I know of.
No, it's really bizarre, actually.
That
there
is.
Have been
that
no
is bizarre.
Sean and Eugene is what I hear.
Sean and Eugene.
That's a little
May December romance on the set of American Reunion.
How about Stifler and Stifler's mom? That would be creepy, right?
Actually, I got a better one for you. This is true. Al, you know this, right? So Eddie Finch, after the first American Pie, he's 18, 17, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
His first place he lived in Los Angeles, he moved from New York, was a house, a big house in Hancock Park that Jennifer Coolidge lived in and was renting rooms out of.
Oh.
Like, was renting out rooms. She was like the landlord. So Eddie Finch went and lived with Coolidge, Stifler's mom.
What?
Right after the first movie. They lived together in the thing. Never hooked up.
As far as you know.
As far as we know. But how brilliant is that?
That's amazing. So cool. That just seems like it should have been a reality show.
No
totally.
Kidding.
Did you not know that, Al?
No.
Yeah, trippy, right?
That's cool. Ow.
Allison, tell that story, but add to it every time.
Well, I can't believe I have to say this and be the bad man, but we are desperately out of time. I know. This is so fun. I know. Allison, we love you so much. We miss you so much. We're so excited about American Reunion. It does look hilarious, and we cannot urge K-Rock listeners enough to go out and see it at least once this weekend. And please keep in touch. Good luck with the new one, okay?
And even if you don't go see it, at least buy the ticket.
Buy a ticket. Yeah.
Buy a ticket and go see something else. They don't care.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Best of luck, Allison. Thank you.
Bye, Al. See
you
soon.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Right.
Hey,
bye,
Jason,
bye.
Can you hang out? Or
yeah, I'm
you
chilling.
You want to do the showbiz with Ralph?
Yeah, let's do it. Right. I'm here, man. I ain't got...
Keep on listening for your chance to win every CD made by the band Blink-182, and you'll be qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to send you to see the band in concert in Berlin, Germany. That's just one of the many great things we have for you Monday here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend the Nerdist, Chris Hardwick, is going to be on with us, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and Andrew Siciliano will be recapping the NFL weekend. Speaking of the NFL, Cousin Sal in minutes with his picks for the weekend, too.
So there was a flight from Miami to London late Friday. It's a British Airways flight. Everybody got on the plane in Miami. Everybody was fine. They all sat down. They got in the plane. It was about 3 hours in, so they were over the ocean. A person came on the speaker and said, quote, "This is an emergency. We will shortly be making an emergency landing on water."
Now, that's good news or bad news when you hear that?
That seems bad.
That's the scariest thing you could hear.
Said families with children were distraught. People were in tears. People were running up and down the aisles. Dogs and cats having sex together. It was mass hysteria. And then they came on and they went, we're sorry about that. That was a mistake.
We're fine. Plane's not going to land on water. We're on our way to London. Everything's great. Don't worry about it. Hit the wrong button. There, sorry about that.
Pre-recorded announcement. Somebody hit the wrong button.
Oh,
Can you imagine the giant oops?
Now, I would imagine, the people, like the flight attendants at first are wondering what's going on. What panic. Don't they know?
Right, sure.
Yes.
And everybody's trying to figure out who hit that and what's happening.
Well, apparently, and I heard from somebody who works for an airline, not associated with this story, apparently all flights have that recording loaded up and ready to go. And the reason it's on tape is so that the pilot can come on and make the announcement while he's actually busy trying to not crash.
Right.
So it's one of the things that you do in advance of when you need it, just so that you don't have to think about it at the time. Plus, let's face it. That way you can record it while you're calm and you sound like there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no danger.
We're going down.
That would be the fear, is if you were doing it live while you were also trying to steer away from the mountain, that it might sound bad. I've always been fascinated with this. This is Bean speaking. Of course, I love death, but I've always been fascinated with what you do if you're in a situation where you're on a plane and maybe it doesn't even get to the announcement from the pilot. Maybe it's just turbulence that's so severe that you're convinced this is the time and the plane is going down. Every time I've heard a story about this where there's been a close call or some incident in the air where people thought they were going to crash and then they interview them at the airport on the other side, they always say the same thing. Complete pandemonium. Everybody screams.
I don't doubt it.
And I guess that makes sense, but that doesn't make things better. That doesn't make the situation less tense, does it?
The situation is on the plane?
No.
That's even worse.
Maybe you can't help it sometimes. I mean, certainly if the plane drops 50 feet, I'm screaming.
Of course.
Yeah. Are you?
Yes. I mean, just out of shock.
I mean, I don't know.
I think about it. It would just come out of my mouth.
I feel like I would be trying to stay calm is what I would be trying to do, not make it worse for me and everyone else by panicking.
Well, I don't think that's panic. I think that's a pretty natural reaction at that moment.
You're thinking logically, Bean.
And that's not what's going through your head at the time.
It wouldn't be for me.
Would you start screaming, though?
Well,
is that what you would do, Kevin?
I would. I would start screaming. But if my wife was with me, I would have sex. Let's be honest.
Right there in the seat on the way down.
And if she wasn't, I would stand up and yell, "Who wants to have sex?"
Right. You'd have to find somebody else, because who could blame you? You're going to die.
But no, I wouldn't scream, because that's not how I react to trauma or to, you know, these kind of critical
stressful situations.
I don't think I'd scream all the way down, but I mean at the first giant drop.
Yeah, it's frightening.
Yeah.
It's frightening as hell. And everybody's lived through that. So we would like to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you thought you were going down, doesn't matter what the reason was. Maybe they didn't come on and say, "This is an emergency. We will shortly be making an emergency landing on water."
Yeah.
While you're over the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, that seems like that's the worst possible scenario. Mm. But your plane does start to lose altitude, or some of them get hit by lightning.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes that stuff happens and they try to keep everybody calm, but maybe you were convinced that was it. This is it. This is the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I guess it depends on how much time you have. If you only have a few seconds, maybe that's all you have time to do is scream. But if it's one of those situations where the pilot is trying to do a delicate maneuver and it goes on for several minutes, I guess that's when you probably pull out your cell phone and risk it and call home and say goodbye and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
right?
That's why the flight goes down, because you turn on phones on a flight and they go right into the ocean. I've been told
Alicia writes in here on the Kevin Bean Show. She knew that we would be doing this topic today, and this is a great one to get us started. And then we'll go right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Dear Kevin and Bean, 11 years ago, so I was 13 at the time, my dad, my older brother, and me had taken off from LAX. We were headed for Atlanta. We were still ascending when the plane started to thrash from side to side, up and down like a chew toy. Everybody was screaming, crying, and vomiting. By the way, how's that for a plane that's 2 minutes from the ground? Everybody's already vomiting.
And when you leave LAX, you go over the ocean.
Yeah. Right, that's right.
Before you turn.
before you turn around. My brother, who was 16 at the time, was seated next to me, was out of a seat and up against the side of the plane screaming, "I don't want to die a virgin."
No.
One older man on the flight across the aisle from us stopped screaming when he heard that and started laughing. The plane finally leveled out. We found out later that we had got stuck in the wake of a much larger plane. And by the way, I don't know if Alicia is kidding here or not, but she says she hasn't flown since. That was 11 years ago when she was 13. She hasn't flown since because of that.
Can you imagine that guy, though? Because when they level it out, he's like, "Hey, that whole thing about a virgin, I was joking.
Just
about
trying
that.
To make you feel better."
Yeah, I was just trying to make people
that
laugh.
That is the most hilarious thing. Wasn't that the scene in the movie Almost Famous where the band, they thought the plane was going to crash, and the one the drummer in the band screamed out that he was gay? He just felt like he had to get it off his chest. And then like 15 seconds later, the plane just leveled out, and everybody's just going to say, "Well, you didn't really have to tell us that, but okay." All right, 1-800-520-1067. Oh, now we're out of time. We have to take a break and come back. And then we'll talk to you, Tesha. We'll talk to Roger, everybody else. We want to hear what happened on your plane when you thought it was going to crash. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean. You thought your plane was going down. We bring this up, and of course it didn't because you're alive to call us. We bring this up because of a mistake on a plane going across the ocean the other day where they accidentally hit the recording telling the passengers that the plane was going to land on water, and everybody freaked out until it was revealed that it was an accident. There was nothing wrong with the plane, and they were
fine. Hey, remember that thing about the whole water not happening? Everyone sit back down. Everything's cool.
Let's talk to Tisha. Get us started here on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Tisha. Thanks a lot for holding on, my dear. What happened to you?
Hi, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hi. Basically, we were coming in for a landing. We're very close, and the plane dropped, then kind of side-side, nose-side.
Oh. Wow.
Nobody came on the speaker. Stewardesses who were collecting the, you know, cans and whatnot jumped into seats, and I screamed bloody murder.
Yes, you started screaming. Excellent.
I don't blame you. I started screaming.
Wow. I love it. How long did you scream?
It was pretty loud, and my mom, who was sitting next to me, it was, you know, it seemed like forever, but it was probably really quick, and then I kind of, like, bit into her shoulder, to be honest with you.
You bit your mom's shoulder?
Yeah.
I do not want to fly with you, ever.
Did everybody else start screaming once you started screaming?
People, I think, were very shocked. They were, you know, it's kind of hit us when the stewardesses started jumping in the seat.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
But Bean's right. When one person screams, that's when all hell is unleashed. I mean, it's just everybody goes, uh-oh, it's time to scream.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for the call, Tisha. Let's go to Brady real quick, line six. Brady apparently was the only one who panicked on his plane when it got into a tough situation. Hi, Brady. What was the story here, dude?
Yeah, thanks a lot for the setup.
What a pussy you are.
Ohio, we fly a lot of business, and this is my first trip to the Midwest in February. And it was, you know, there was snow on the ground where we were landing. And we came in, and the plane landed, and then as we were starting to slow down, it started to twist to the side, like slip. And I thought we were going to crash. And so, but I was the only, and I'm in a suit, and I'm the only one in the aisle. And everyone else, I guess that's normal. And I'm just kind of looking around like, am I the only one here?
You know, I got to be honest, if I wasn't expecting it, I would be a little surprised if the plane started skidding upon landing. I would think that was not normal either.
Skidding and turning sideways.
Yeah, that seems really bad.
That seems bad. Maybe everybody else was just so stunned that they couldn't really do anything.
Yeah. Good times. Thank you very much, Brady. Let's try Sarah, line seven. Sarah, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Where were you flying to?
I was flying from LAX to Australia.
Okay.
And,
wow. Okay.
A lot of ocean.
And it was so nice. I was two glasses of wine and a Vicodin in, so I wasn't all there already.
Okay.
And the plane just starts going so fast, and overhead bin pops open. I mean, it's just the worst turbulence. I'm screaming. Everybody's screaming.
Now, wait, going so fast meaning going down?
Going down and, like, dropping, like, 20 feet. And
sweet.
It would be turbulence, and then it would drop. So the guy that I'm sitting next to, who I had been flirting with the whole time, I noticed his pants around the crotch getting darker and darker.
Wait, so you found him attractive enough to flirt with?
I was flirting with him the whole time. I'm single, and he was in a suit, and it was just darker and darker. And he wet his pants.
Awesome. I love that.
It was great.
Did you bring it up? Hey, how about wetting your pants, huh?
I stopped talking to him the whole time.
And scene.
That's awesome. Thank you for the call.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Boys are on vacation this week, so it's been the best of Kevin and Bean. However, I am doing live Showbiz Beach each and every hour. Not easy to say, just for your entertainment value. They'll be back on Monday, Kevin and Bean, by the way. So it'll be brand new Kevin and Bean shows as of Monday. And then towards the end of the week, I'm heading out to San Diego Comic-Con.
Cut!
And then the boys are going to join me on Friday. We'll be doing the show live from San Diego, from right outside the Comic-Con, actually, on Friday. So if you're going to be down there, come on and check us out and see us. And also, I'll be doing the Hollywood Babylon show that I do with Kevin Smith. We're doing that at the House of Blues in San Diego on Saturday night, 11 p.m., the late show. Come and check us out. And this Saturday, I'm doing the show with John Lovitz, doing the show with my landlord over there at the John Lovitz Comedy Theater in Universal City, up at the City Walk.
He has that weird, strange delivery.
Lovitz is great.
He cracks me up every time.
He cracks me up, too. I always like doing Babylon with him when Smith's not around, because we just have a blast, and he just mocks me endlessly. And for some reason, I never get angry. It just makes me laugh. So if you want to see me and John Lovitz tomorrow night, you can come out and see us. It's 10 p.m. up at the Lovitz. You can go to thelovitz.com or babylonralph.com for more details and tickets. We were just playing Coldplay, and Chris Martin has announced to Us Weekly magazine that he and the band would never collaborate with Justin Bieber.
Good.
It is good, and it's not because they have talent and he doesn't, although that is the case. It's because he says he's too good-looking and young and would make them look old and ugly. So I can see that point. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Bieber, by the way, has announced this week he just got his high school diploma. And he said that's where his education ends. When asked if he was going to continue his studies, Justin said, "I can't say I'm, like, never gonna, like, go to college, but at this point I'm not, like, planning on it." Eh? That's his actual quote. Maybe just a class or two, Justin.
I'll give diplomas to anybody.
Well, high school diplomas.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
Jesus.
He could use a little education.
No, remember when he said the 16th chapel?
The 16th chapel, yeah. Well, I guess you really don't need a college degree to be able to service guys in an alley for beer money once it's all gone. So he'll be fine. I cannot wait for his rapid downward spiral into drug addiction and bankruptcy.
Absolutely.
Because if people like Britney Spears could go broke, I mean, they all have. All the biggest stars in the world, you say, well, they'll never run out of money. Somehow it just seems to disappear. Mike Tyson, all these people who've got hundreds of millions of dollars, it does go. Somehow they manage to spend it or give it or have it stolen away from them. Yeah. And it does happen. And I cannot wait for Bieber.
It's going
to
be amazing.
To become the Vanilla Ice of this generation.
He's going to be on the Home and Garden Channel.
I cannot wait for him to be on Celebrity Fit Club, where he's Fat Bieber trying desperately to get back into the limelight because his career has disappeared on him.
Can't wait.
I just want to live long enough to see it all. That's all I care about. Like Jessica Simpson, for example. No, let's not take her for example, because she's actually doing well, and it makes me furious. She has just announced a new collection of clothing. You know, her clothing line is a multi-million dollar business.
Really?
Now.
Is it all like fat mom jeans?
There is some of that in there.
Yeah.
But now she is releasing a collection of bridal gowns.
Wow. Yeah. I imagine they'll do well.
I guess it will.
Yeah. Damn.
She is saying I do to her boyfriend, Eric Johnson, later this year, so her own dress will undoubtedly be on the cover of magazines, and I guess it's smart of her to try to cash in.
Is she still fat?
She's still fat, yeah.
Okay.
She's got that deal with Jenny Craig or somebody to lose the weight as a spokesperson.
Like $30,000 per pound or something.
She gets paid
like that.
Per pound, yeah, and apparently she has not made any money yet. So glad to see that. While we're talking about reality shows, Celebrity Apprentice, Donald Trump has announced there's an all-star version of Celebrity Apprentice in the works. Here is the list of all-stars comprised from the past six seasons that Trump is going to put together in one show. Trace Atkins, Omarosa, Gene Simmons, Lennox Lewis, Meatloaf, Jesse James, Gary Busey, Marley Matlin, Sharon Osbourne, Cyndi Lauper, Marilu Henner, and Dennis Rodman is his dream cast.
Wow, that's like 80% crazy.
As long as you get Meatloaf and Gary Busey in there, that's all you really care about, because I do want to see them.
Round two.
Go at it again. Tom Cruise is the world's best-paid actor. Forbes magazine just released its list of highest-paid actors, and Tom is on top of the list.
Wow.
Over the past 12 months, Tom made $85 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
Tied for second place, Leonardo DiCaprio and Adam Sandler with $37 million each. It's a big drop-off from first to second.
Wow.
Fourth, you're going to be shocked when I tell you who was the fourth highest earning actor over the past year?
Ralph Garman?
Yes, oddly enough.
Wow.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Wow, what's he done in the
past
year?
Out of all actors.
Huh.
$36 million he made last year.
Really?
I'm trying to think of what he made. I guess Fast and the Furious. Yeah. Maybe he had a back-end deal or something on that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he did that, that 3D Journey to the Center of the Earth movie.
Oh, that's probably a huge.
But still, look at the guys he beat. Ben Stiller was fifth. Wow. Sacha Baron Cohen, Johnny Depp, and Will Smith were all tied at sixth. Mark Wahlberg, my movie son, was ninth. And then Taylor Lautner and Robert Pattinson were tied for 10th with $26.5 million each. But Dwayne The Rock Johnson, number four. That surprised me.
That dude, I really like that dude.
Yeah, he's a very talented guy, very charismatic, real movie star.
Yep.
Not a great actor, but he's one of those guys when you see him on screen, you like him and Absolutely. You want to watch him, and he's good action star.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays, speaking of action stars, Sylvester Stallone, maybe the most iconic of all action stars between Rambo and Rocky and now the Expendables franchise, 66 years old today. Actor Jeffrey Rush is 61. Actor Fred Dreyer, remember Hunter? I love that series, Hunter.
Hunter?
It was a cop show. Yeah, Fred Dreyer, former L.A. Ram, was a football player, got into acting, 66 years old today. Speaking of great actors, Burt Ward, TV's Robin, he's 67 years old. Actor Ned Beatty, 75 years old. Brian Posehn, actor and comedian from Just Shoot Me and other projects, 46 years old. Inspector Deck of Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang!
Is 42 years old. 50 Cent is 37. Tia and Tamara Mowry from Sister Sister, 34 years old today. And John Keeble, drummer for the legendary Spandau Ballet, celebrates his 53rd birthday today. We're going to have to rock some true later on, maybe next hour. You know this much is true.
I play that at weddings all the time.
Oh, I love that song so much.
Yep.
Oh, Omar and I are going to slow dance in the next Showbiz Beat. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Keep listening. As we mentioned earlier today, this is Black Keys Week here on the world-famous K-Rock, October 5th at Staples, October 8th at the Honda Center. We've got tickets for you, and also a key that could start the Black Keys minivan right off the cover of the El Camino album. That's a great deal. We got more information for you at K-Rock.com. Your chance to win is coming up. All right, let's all be introduced together, shall we, to Suzanne Eamon. They don't mention it in the Inside Edition, the story that we're about to play audio for, but she wants to be the fattest woman in the world, Kevin.
What? That's her goal?
That's her goal, yes. Apparently the one she's going after, and I assume there's a new world's fattest woman right now, but Rosalie Bradford was the big dog in this competition. She back in 2006 she died, but she weighed over 1,200 pounds.
Oh!
And that's where Suzanne is headed. Suzanne is on her way to try to be the world's fattest woman. She currently, as you'll find out here in this story, only weighs a little over 800.
That's nothing.
Not only is she working hard on that, she's also working hard on preparing to walk down the aisle for the first time, as, yes, she is about to get married.
And by walk, you mean roll down the aisle.
Yeah, there's no way she walks anymore.
She doesn't walk far, I'll tell you that. She's mostly in a big, 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 big wheelchair. But let's meet Suzanne and see what's up with her.
Most brides try to slim down before walking down the aisle, but not this woman. She tips the scales at 800 pounds. We were there as the fabric was rolled out to make what just may be the largest wedding dress ever.
You won't believe why this seamstress is rolling out yards and yards and yards of fabric.
Okay, we have about 15 feet here, and we need 45 feet, so about three times this amount to complete her dress.
It does look like they're putting up a circus big tent or something.
Wow.
There's so much fabric just pulled out as far as the eye can see trying to wrap this woman up.
That's right. It's all to make one dress. Not just any dress. It's a wedding dress for an 800-pound bride.
I'm getting married.
Suzanne Eamon isn't the blushing bride. She's the bulging bride.
Hey!
No,
come on,
didn't.
People.
Come on, that's low-hanging
While
fruit.
Most women lose weight for their wedding, Suzanne, a 32-year-old single mom from Phoenix, embraces her curves.
I didn't realize the first time I saw this story that she is a single mother. They don't show her kid or kids in this story.
Because he's lost in a fold.
Can you imagine your mom's 800 pounds and trying actively to get bigger?
She's going to die at 40.
Look, I didn't bring this story up because I want to make fun of this woman. I brought this story up for two reasons. One is, what's going on in her head? How can you be a mom and want to put your body through that knowing that you're not going to be around for your kids? That's what I don't understand. Well, like, that's mental illness, right?
That's point one.
And she's given up. I mean, she doesn't think there's any chance she can lose weight, so she's just going the other way.
And what's point two, Bean?
I want to make single girls out there who can't get a man feel bad.
That's the most important thing.
Because you knew that was point two, didn't you,
Kevin? I did, yes, because that's the way Bean works. Is that woman got a husband, and if you don't have one, blah, 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 blah.
I bet he's 140 pounds, too.
Yep, he sure is.
She's preparing for her big day by eating 30,000 calories a day.
Beer Mug, how you feeling about your diet now?
Fantastic.
30,000 calories a day.
She sounds fat.
We're going to find out what one meal from her is like here in a minute.
Mountains of food soaked in butter. And get this, her fiancé Parker is a chef.
Oh, he's wonderful. He loves to cook.
That helps out.
His food is so good.
We're with Suzanne as her sister Cassie takes her to the seamstress to get measured for her wedding dress. Just squeezing into the back seat is a workout. But first stop, the drive-thru at Carl's Jr. For a snack.
Sure. Let's imagine what she might get at Carl's Jr., shall we?
Just look at the spread she lays out when she gets to the seamstress's workshop. 3 guacamole bacon cheeseburgers, 2 orders of chili cheese fries, 9 tacos, a chocolate shake, and a large Coke.
Wow. Oh, that she's got to cut down on her caffeine. That large Coke is too much.
You've been called a vile, disgusting pig, a fat, lecherous loser. Which would you prefer I called you?
Guys, could you eat that much food in a day?
No, you'd throw up.
And that's what she eats basically for every meal.
As her $50 lunch digests, it's time to check out the swatches.
I want to go sleeveless because it's going to be summertime.
Seamstress Judy Goff measures Suzanne.
Okay, she wants to go sleep. Now, here's one thing I do know about the ladies, Lisa. Even girls in good shape are self-conscious about the upper arms, right?
Yes. Yes, they are.
You very rarely see a woman who shows those upper arms to anybody in public. You always wear sleeves, or if you're wearing something that's sleeveless, you put a little sweater on top of it. She wants to go sleeveless because it's summertime.
Now it's just, I mean, look at her. She's got elbow cleavage.
What is up with that?
You know, at this point, she must sweat unbelievably.
Of course. Yeah. She's just dripping.
Sounds to me like she's sexy and she knows it. That's what it sounds like to me. All right, a little bit more.
And brace yourself for her waist size.
107.5.
You heard right.
What?
107.5 inches.
That's not a waist. It's not a waist.
That's her waist size.
There's not a waist.
107 inches.
They must have accidentally measured her SUV. That can't be right.
That's 9 feet around. Suzanne tries on different veils and tiaras.
Yeah, I like that. I'm feeling like a bride.
She decides on something pretty but practical.
Or like an off-whitish, not completely white. Because if I wear completely white, I guarantee I'm going to spill something on it.
Her sister Cassie, who will be her maid of honor, is all choked up.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see her in the actual dress.
Then it's time to roll out the material and get to work on the largest wedding dress in history. Suzanne lives life large, literally, as she gets ready for her big day.
And there you go.
Was that her jumping in a pool?
Suzanne Eamon. I don't remember what that was at the end there.
They can't have had sex, right? They're never going to have sex.
I don't know how that works. It seems like, without getting into too many details, that it would be difficult to find the spot.
That's gross.
Wow.
Finally, somebody that's taking my advice, though. You need to plump up for your wedding photos.
That's true.
So she's, what, 800 pounds, Bean?
Uh-huh.
She loses 200. She's still a gross, fat 600 pounds. People look at the picture and they go, you look great.
Good point.
Hey, party people, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
We sent our interviewer, Beer Mug, out to the Grammy Roundtable. Now, the Grammy Roundtable is what it sounds like. They just put a bunch of radio stations around these tables, and people can walk from table to table and be in 15 cities the same day. They all do interviews. They all sit down. So they sit down in front of Beer Mug, and he does interviews. Now, Beer Mug is not a great interviewer yet.
What? He's the best interviewer. Are you kidding me?
Beer Mug is best interviewer that has ever lived.
Thank you, Kevin.
He was interviewing Kool and the Gang. Now, Kool and the Gang, very popular in the 70s, in the 80s, in a lot of the 90s.
Yeah.
Probably still on the road.
Yeah, and they're still very popular. I mean, you can't go to a wedding without hearing a Kool and the Gang song. You can't turn on your TV for more than an hour without seeing one of their songs pop up on commercial. I mean, they've got Celebration and Ladies Night and Get Down on It and Jungle Book. I mean, they just got a ton of hits.
So why does Beer Mug sit down with Kool and the Gang and sing them one of their own songs, which it turns out isn't one of their songs?
Goes a little something like this. do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight?
No.
Nope.
Why does he do that?
Wow.
Why does he do Casey and the Sunshine Band for cooling the game?
Now, Muggs, I'm not blaming you. I ain't mad at you for not knowing that, because that song was popular before you were born. Look, I don't expect you to know all those songs, but I'm just thinking about what it must be like for those guys. That's their livelihood. That's their career, and you're singing somebody else's song to them. What was the look on their face?
They've been a band for 40 years.
Humiliation was the look on their face.
Oh, that's so sad.
The fact that you could humiliate them.
Yeah.
He continues with this probing question.
Now, what songs do you do?
So now, is his name Robert? Robert Cool?
Ronnie. Ronnie and Cool.
Cool, okay.
And what? Ronnie and Cool.
Whatever. Yeah. Cool sits there and lists all of their hits. Celebration, like, is it Ladies' Night? And Beer Mug finally sings one back to him of their own. I don't know why. Now, Beer Mug has decided it's time to talk about himself.
I, myself, am a drummer. So, and I've been lucky to...
Where do you think he's going with this, Bean? Talking Cool in the Gang still.
I can't imagine, unless he's got a question about their... He wouldn't have a question about their drum style because he doesn't know any of their songs, so I have no idea what he's trying to do here.
I've been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad grew up listening to jazz.
All right, where do you think he's going now?
I don't know, but this is more information than Cool in the Gang needs about Beer Mug. I'll tell you.
He loves all sorts of stuff. But that aside...
All right, now what question is he going to ask?
All right, let's play our new game. What the hell is Beer Mug thinking?
Because he talks about himself as a drummer. He talks about his dad and his influence and how many different music styles he's been opened up to.
And then does he say that aside?
Yes.
Then we're putting all of that aside, so forget everything I just bored you with. Now I'm going to ask my question. Lisa, what could he be asking?
Which is not, let me just give you a clue, not at all related to drumming or Beer Mug, his dad or his dad's musical style.
Well, what the hell was that setup about then?
I'm not sure I know myself. Who are you guys excited to see at the 54th Grammy Awards?
How do you go from that to that? Why do you start by saying, I'm a drummer, my dad exposed me to jazz, who are you looking forward to see? I mean, maybe you were thinking there's going to be a lot of different styles of music there?
My mind is going at the same time I'm speaking.
Right.
To buy time, to pad time.
So you're just, when you're talking about your dad, you have no idea where it's going.
Yeah.
All right. So Cool and the Gang are still in front of Muggs. He's turning the screws to him now. He's really going to embarrass him. He hasn't embarrassed him enough yet. So now he's going to ask him what the participation is in the show, which is just nothing. Listen to this.
Are you guys presenting?
No.
Poor Muggs, though. He is, in his defense, he is just throwing anything out there hoping something will stick.
Right. Right. But when nothing sticks, a lot of times what people will do will go, thanks for stopping by. It was really great to meet you.
I felt that I had to use my entire time length with them because, you know, you're given like 2 or 3 minutes.
How much time did you have? 2 or 3 minutes? Yeah. You were 8 minutes into it by now. And then, like, that's not enough. Like, all that's gone before is not enough. Beer Mug starts thinking out loud.
Let me see what else we could talk about here.
Oh, Muggs. Way to say to the guys, hey, thanks for sitting down. I'm just going to waste more of your time now.
You're going to sit here while I think about anything else to say to you.
Let me see what else we can talk about here.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh, my God.
That's next to what songs do you do? That's the worst question I've ever heard.
Is he done with Cool in the Gang?
He's got to be.
Nope.
Hollywood Swingin', was that sampled recently by...
he doesn't know. And then he mumbles and mumbles.
How did they not just walk away?
I don't know. You really have to look at those guys and go, how incredibly cool are they?
Very gracious. Absolutely.
To sit across from Beer Mug, who sings him the wrong song, asks him if they're presenting. They're not. Talks about his dad. Has no relevance. Talks about he's a drummer. No relevance. Talks about thinking of something to talk about. And then they sample the Hollywood Swingin' and how does that work?
I could never have imagined when I woke up today that I would feel sorry for Cool in the Gang.
Why did Cool in the Gang not punch Beer Mug?
It's a great question. I would have.
No, we have more, but we don't have time.
Oh, I wish that was a song I used to know.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm hearing that a lot. Song is something we all hear a lot. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. It is the best of Kevin and Bean because Kevin and Bean are both on their well-earned vacation, soaking up the sun somewhere. Oh, no, wait a minute. Bean is shoveling hay for a goat. And Kevin, I think, is in Vegas in a dumpster somewhere behind a casino. Yeah. He's lost all his money, and he's drunk and high. But I am here doing the Showbiz Beat. We're going to take a little break from Showbiz Beat because it is Friday, and there are some new movies in the Southland Cineplexes this weekend. We're going to take a break and do the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
It is sort of a holiday weekend week, even though it was weird and the holiday fell in the middle of the week. So there are movies that have been released earlier this week. Spider-Man, most specifically on Tuesday, and then Katy Perry's movie was released on Thursday. But we're going to talk about all the new stuff in the theaters this weekend. And so my recommendation to you is buy a ticket for Ted and then go see one of these other movies. That's what you should do. Starting with Dodecapentathlon. This is a small independent film from the Duplass brothers, Jay Duplass and Mark Duplass. You may have seen Mark in Safety Not Guaranteed, another small independent film that was released earlier this year. Great guys, brothers who worked together as writers and directors on this film. And this premise is about brothers, two brothers who don't really like each other. They both have grown up, they have their own families, yet they still have this deep-seated competitive nature and dislike for each other. And they go back and revisit a moment in their youth when they created this fake Olympics game, this 25-event private Olympics that they had between themselves to see who was the better athlete, called the Dodecapentathlon. This was many years ago, but simmering resentments have brought this idea back to the surface, and they once again engage in the Dodecapentathlon.
What's dodeca?
When your dad and I were in high school, one summer we came up with this competition called the Dodeca Pentathlon, which is basically 25 events.
And who won?
You lost.
I know that you guys are throwing the dodeca.
We're not playing the dodeca again.
Get out of the car!
We're going to make a concerted effort this weekend to turn over a new leaf and find the love that it's there. There's no love lost. It's just we can't find it right now. We're looking for it.
We're just looking for the love. It's not lost. Looks like a very funny, quaint film. I love supporting independent films when I can. So if you can find this, it's in limited release. You may want to check it out. In big, big release, in 3D everywhere, is Katy Perry's A Part of Me.
Oh!
This is the usual sort of shine job where they get a celebrity like Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, and they follow around on tour and they talk about how wonderful she is. Mm-hmm. Only in this case, she's got spectacular boobs, so it's got that going for it. Here's a little scene from the film where all her fans talk about why Katie's so wonderful.
She knows what it's like to be those girls in the audience.
I've been listening to her ever since I first heard it, like, years ago.
Her lyrics have inspired me.
We all just want to try and be normal, but Katie tells us that it's okay to stand out.
That it's okay to be different and unique.
My dream has always been the same, to be on stage and to hear thousands of people sing along with me.
Yep. She's a big star.
Yep, she is.
She makes it okay to be different. That's what Katy Perry does. You can be different if you're smoking hot and have giant cans.
And doesn't she shoot whipped cream out of her boobs,
And you
too?
Shoot whipped cream out of your boobs. And you sell sex and you happen to look like that. You can be different. But if you're not attractive, then you're effed.
Yep.
Is the story of Katy Perry's life. You can check that out. In theaters everywhere. Savages is also in wide release. New film from Oliver Stone starring Taylor Kitsch, Aaron Johnson, Blake Lively, Benicio Del Toro. It is the story of a drug ring of two guys and their shared girlfriend. So it's a three-way drug ring. They grow pot and they sell it, but the Mexican drug cartels are moving in on this trio of drug dealers who just happen to look like supermodels and are all in love with each other. The cartel comes in and tries to threaten them, so they have to go back to their buddy, who is a federal agent, played by John Travolta, who they have on the payroll to protect them. They're asking for his help against the drug cartels, and that's when this scene happens.
Have a nice day.
Dennis, you step out that car. I'm coming down to San Diego to introduce myself to your district supervisor. You have a hard time explaining $500,000 parked in the Cook Islands when you clear 110 after taxes. Names, history, stash houses.
That ain't part of the deal, buddy boy.
It is now.
It don't work that way.
We're running out of time, Dennis. You have to step up right now.
You know what?
I'm out of here.
What the hell are you doing?
They took our girl, and I will do anything, anything to get her back. Do you understand me?
I'm Batman. I will do anything to get her back.
Wow. This sounds like a lot of big acting, a lot of overacting in this. Yeah. And does anyone for a second believe that Taylor Kitsch, Aaron Johnson, and Blake Lively are a trio of drug dealers?
No,
for
not
a
at all.
Second, do you believe that? Do you believe for a second that John Travolta is a federal drug enforcement agent on the take? Maybe if they offered him a massage for his work, then I could buy some of that. But this seems like it's way over the top. However, it looks real good. Oliver Stone is usually a pretty good director in terms of the super violent action sort of sequences from past films. So you may want to check out Savages this
Or you can check out Cucamonga Heat on YouTube.
There, same thing. Yeah. Same premise, basically. There's going to be a double cross.
Yeah, exactly.
And lastly, The Amazing Spider-Man. It's been in theaters since Tuesday. It's made over $60 million already, and it's not even the weekend yet. One of the biggest hits of the summer. If you're one of those people who haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man yet, here's what you're in for. Peter Parker, of course, as we all know, gets bitten by a spider. We tell the origin story again, how he becomes Spider-Man. But in this particular film, it also puts him on a collision course with a doctor from his past, Dr. Kurt Connors, who used to work with his father and who gets involved in some experimentation of his own. He takes some lizard DNA. He wants to regrow his arm. Bad things happen, apparently, when you inject yourself with lizard DNA. Here's The Amazing Spider-Man.
Did you catch that spider guy yet?
No, but we will. This guy wears a mask like an outlaw.
I think he's trying to do something maybe the police can't.
Can't?
I gotta stop him, because I created him.
That's not your job.
Maybe it is.
38 of New York's finest versus one guy in a unitard.
Whoa! If you want the truth, Peter, come and get it.
I am issuing an arrest warrant for the masked vigilante known as Spider-Man.
Check out Spider-Man this weekend. Or, more importantly, go see Ted again if you've seen that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie.
Friday morning on the world-famous K-Rock. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. A couple of our favorite people on the program today. Funny man Jay Moore later this hour. Jim Jefferies joins us next hour. And in the 9 o'clock hour, your chance to ask a stripper. That's all coming up right now, though. It's Andy Samberg time.
Take a look inside. Is my in a box?
We love that chronic. What goes up, Narnia?
Hey, dog, how's it going? I like your fur. That looks really great. Say hi to your mother for me, okay?
I'm buzzing dudes' mouths like gushers, motherfucker. I'm full up on NBC Inspector. This shot, Jeff Zucker.
What you want, Natalie?
To drink and fight.
What you need, Natalie?
To hook for
night. In my pants.
This really never happens. You can take my word. I won't apologize. That's just absurd. Mainly your fault for the way that you dance. And I went,
in my pants.
Andy Samberg on big screens everywhere today in the film That's My Boy with his friend Adam Sandler joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Andy, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you? That was such a lovely intro.
Thank you. Our man Omar put that together for you. He's a big fan as well. Are you in New York City right now?
I'm in the Big Apple, as I call it. No one's ever called it that before for me.
Wow, that might catch on. That has merchandising possibilities. Did you go outside and watch Bieber today? Did you see any of that?
No, but you know I got it TiVo'd.
Yeah, I know you do. Well, Andy, I'm so happy that we have you on because we have a bunch of stuff we want to talk about. And let's start with, before we get to That's My Boy, let's start with, I've been reading your interviews. You knew it was time. 7 years, that's a good long run on Saturday Night Live. You're set up to go off and do a lot of other things. I don't blame you for leaving, but why was there no Andy Samberg goodbye besides the video that you guys put together? Why did you not get to dance off into the moonlight with John Hamm like Kristen Wiig did? It seemed like it was so anticlimactic to say goodbye to you after that long with really nothing on the show. What happened?
Well, I hadn't officially decided yet. You know, I talked to Lauren and told him I probably was going to, but you know, everyone at the show knew about Kristen, and that sketch got written for her, and it just seemed like a really fitting send off for her, and you know, I hadn't really made it that clean of a break yet. So for me, I built it into the digital short, which I thought was a lot more fitting for me. Anyhow, you know, she kind of owned the stage live when she was there, and I don't know. People have said that to me, but personally, it felt like everything was in its right.
You were fine with it. And yeah. How about Sudeikis? Has he decided yet? Because I don't think I've seen one way or another whether that's official or not.
Yeah, I don't think he knows yet.
He doesn't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Will SNL continue to do something like digital shorts, or do you take that with you and now they're not going to have that feature anymore?
I assume they will. I mean, there's always been short pre-taped things on the show ever since the first season with Jim Brooks, so I'm sure they'll do something. You know,
yeah. Well, you made it your own, though. I mean, you really upped the ante on that with the kind of songs that you guys did and stuff like that. I mean, you're really, really going to be missed. Will you continue to try to do stuff in music too on your own, like on the internet or something?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm hoping we're going to make another Lonely Island record, and there will be videos for those songs, hopefully. And you know, who knows? They might even find their way back to SNL. It could be
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, I love in the press that you've been doing talking about That's My Boy opening up everywhere today in theaters with Andy Samberg on the Kevin and Bean. You're here. I love that you talk about how Adam Sandler was not only a hero of yours when you were super young, but that he kind of reached out to you when you came on the show and has kind of been your, if nothing else, your phone buddy even throughout the years that you were on the show. I mean, that's so cool to me on a show like SNL to think about the generations kind of staying in touch and all being part of one big family. I love the idea of that.
Yeah, same. I mean, obviously it meant the world to me. When I first got hired, he called me out of the blue just to say hi and welcome me, which, you know, growing up loving him, it meant everything to me. But I will say there's definitely a kindred spirit amongst everyone who's ever worked there, and no one more so than Sandler. I mean, he's so good about continuing to hire people that were in the cast and put them in his movies and being good to people that love good comedy.
It's kind of like you all, you know, we're in Korea together, so you're the only ones who know what it was like to be in the trenches, right?
I have described it almost exactly that way, yeah.
And how different was it as a fan of his as a kid and then as an adult and going to see all of his movies when you're actually on the set in one of them? Did it seem kind of surreal to you?
It was completely surreal. But I will also say, like, it was surreal in the best possible way because this movie in particular, he's doing kind of like the old school crazy Sandler, which was my formative years when I first started watching him, like the old albums and the first few movies and stuff. So like, not only did I get to do a movie with him, but I got to do like my favorite version of him, kind of a movie with him where he was just making me laugh every day constantly.
Did you say in one interview that I read recently that you had the audio from Billy Madison on a headset and you would walk around listening to it?
That is correct. I had it on audio cassette. I listened to it in my Walkman.
That's hardcore, dude. I don't know that I've ever loved a movie enough to walk around listening to it in my Walkman.
I tell people that I am a comedy nerd and they don't believe me, but maybe they'll believe now.
What's the set like on an Adam Sandler movie? Does he come in and everything is written out and you got to do it exactly that way, or is there a lot of goofing around in improv?
There's goofing. I mean, he likes to, you know, come in, run it through. We'll do some takes that are from the script, and then it's like, let's regroup, watch it back, and see if we can top some of the jokes and see if we make the scene funnier. And he's real open. You know, anyone can pitch a joke. And if it's good, you know, he'll give it a shot. His character, any other character in the scene, there's a lot of doing, you know, a series of alts, and then in the editing room they have choices and sort of pick
right.
one they like better.
Right. When you first got the inkling that show business was for you, did you ever dream you'd grow up and be in a movie with Vanilla Ice?
I thought you were going somewhere else with that. Certainly not. Certainly not. Not when I bought Ice Ice Baby on Kasingle.
That's right.
But yeah, it was a dream. He's the nicest man, and he kills in the movie. It's actually really funny and surprising how much he gets laughs in the movie.
He said on, speaking of the Today Show, he was on with Kathy Lee and Hody yesterday. You can tell I watch a lot of TV, Andy.
Yeah.
And he said that's My Boy is the funniest movie ever made. True or false?
I don't know about ever made, but I've been to some screenings, and I will say it plays real hot. I was very pleased when I saw it.
Adam Sandler, Leighton Meester, James Caan, Vanilla Ice, and our guest Andy Samberg. The film is called That's My Boy, opening up everywhere all weekend long. Andy, I'm so glad we got a chance to chat with you, man. Let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Same here. Thanks for letting me call in.
You bet. Bye-bye.
K-Rock.
How about a new round of
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
Ugh. I'm with you, whoever you are. I'm telling you.
I'm Ralph Garman.
Ralph. Oh, hi, Ralph Garman.
And this is a
batch.
Really?
What are you talking about?
He brought it strong?
We need a disclaimer. Listen at your own peril, people.
Here's what
happens. You're eating breakfast, your stomach may curdle, all kinds of things could happen.
I don't broadcast my tweets on the radio. If people want to hear what I have to say, they can follow me on Twitter.
Right, but if they're bad enough, then we make Chip look at them, and then she collates them for us, and then we go ahead and highlight what bad tweets they are.
What's your complaint this time around?
Sometimes it's just one decision that takes you from being an interesting person to being a person of interest.
You must have felt so damn clever when you came up with that.
Wordplay!
I nailed it.
I do love wordplay.
Come on.
Wait! There is one professional skier named Lindsey Vonn and a different one named Lindsey Vann? Uncool.
Thank you for saying that. I agree with you,
that's
sir.
That tweet.
Bean.
What are the chances
that's that tweet.
Bean.
Two little blonde
that's
girls.
That tweet.
Bean.
Born a month
that's
apart.
That tweet.
Bean.
We both
hey,
grew
Bean.
Up to be.
That's that
tweet.
Bean.
Here's the thing.
I'm just saying
we
it's
don't,
crazy.
We don't need further explanation.
Right, but I'm not explaining. I'm asking, how am I supposed to, as a casual winter sports fan observer, how am I supposed to keep Lindsey Vann and Lindsey Vonn straight when they're both professional skiers?
Okay, first of all, you don't watch professional skiing.
When the Olympics,
that's
when
first
the Olympics
of all.
Come, but when the Olympics come up, then you
second
do.
Second of all, what you do when you come across that piece of information is you go, oh, that's interesting. And then you don't sit down at the keyboard.
I don't like it.
I don't like it at all.
Planned on doing any boogieing or oogieing at all tonight. Are you certain there are no exceptions to the rule?
Listen to him laugh. Bean doesn't laugh.
Come on,
no.
Ralph.
He hates jokes.
Boogie
that's right, tweet.
Bean.
The Taste of Honey song. Come on, there are no exceptions. Come on.
That's right,
tweet.
Bean.
I would say to you, sir, come on.
Yeah, that's our answer as well.
I'm sitting on the couch with my imaginary friend Regis Philbin right now, watching the Notre Dame game, like we do.
Why would you?
Because I love Regis.
That's
as,
tweet.
As you know, and he's one of my favorite people in the world. I was thinking how awesome it would be if I were watching the Notre Dame game, because he's an alumni of there, and he loves that school so much. I was thinking how much fun it would be to watch college basketball with Regis.
What
but
the
alas,
F is going on in your life? What's
alas,
going on in your life?
It's not possible, so I have to just imagine.
Who has those thoughts?
This vacation just went into overdrive as I poured a little lemonade into my glass of iced tea. Hashtag Arnold Palmer. Hashtag beast mode.
Come on.
That's that
tweet.
Bean. He tweeted that he
Come
made
on.
Himself an Arnold Palmer.
Because you know how crazy I get when I'm on vacation. And I think it was like after 9 p.m. when I did it, too.
Beast
so it was
mode.
Just like
Come
everything
on.
Was off the rails that week.
That's that
tweet.
Bean!
And lastly.
I don't know much about this African guy in the news, but has anyone even looked for him on Coney Island?
Oh! His name was Coney. It was everywhere. He was... Wow.
Oh, man.
Listen to how hard Bean is laughing at this. Right.
Wow.
Most watched video on YouTube. Everyone knows, gets it.
His name is Cody, and
right.
There's a place called...
Oh, my God!
You can't possibly be laughing this hard.
Thanks for that tweet, Bean and Dean.
Thanks for that
tweet,
Bean.
This is not supposed to reinforce what you do.
Oh my
I need to
God.
Keep doing what I'm doing.
Oh, that's the
I'm on the right path.
That's no. the opposite result.
I'm gonna go tweet right
do
now.
Wrong.
You are listening to the world famous K Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. The best of Kevin and Bean this morning because Kevin and Bean are on vacation. They'll be back Monday morning, though, with a brand new Kevin and Bean show. And I hope we do more of Thanks for That Tweet, Bean, because he has been on a twitting rampage.
I think it's already on the schedule.
Since he went on vacation. I don't know what Bean does on his vacation because he seems to do everything that he does
when he's working while he's also on vacation.
Oh, really?
He's IMing Dave in the other room.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
sending out emails. He's tweeting. I don't know what he does for fun.
He has no fun.
Can he just relax?
I don't think he can. No. So we'll see what he's been up to. Monday, Kevin will be back as well. In the meanwhile, I'm here doing the live showbiz beat. What? Live showbiz beats every hour. And it is Friday, so we're winding down. Let's get to some showbiz news. Chris Rock. A little controversy this week with his 4th of July tweet. He called 4th of July White People's Day. Here's a message he sent out to his Twitter followers. Happy White People's Independence Day. The slaves weren't free, but I'm sure they enjoyed the fireworks. Okay, listen. Okay, listen. I get it. Slavery was bad and is bad. And no one supports it. And it is a blight on America's history. It is an embarrassment of mythic proportions how horrible that incident was in our nation's history. Like our treatment of the indigenous peoples, the Native Americans. Also, a blight on American history. Yes, bad. Got it? Bad. Also, long time ago, also now, Chris Rock, America is the country that allows you to make millions of dollars by being the voice of a zebra.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, gotta take the bad with the good.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Come on now. Come on now, Mr. President. It's a bad year for Demi Moore and her daughters. First, Demi Moore, of course, splitting up with her husband, Ashton Kutcher. Very difficult time. She was hospitalized after a health scare, went to rehab for anorexia and prescription medication abuse. Then Scout was arrested recently in New York City for underage drinking. And now Tallulah Willis. Having her own tough time. There are topless photos of the 18-year-old apparently being shopped around to various media outlets, according to Radar Online.
Hey, now.
There are four photos of her topless, smoking what appears to be a joint.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
They're being offered for sale.
Is Tallulah hot?
Tallulah is hotter than Scout.
Yeah?
I'll give you that much.
Right. So we'd like to see them.
No? I guess just out of curiosity. I mean, she's not hot, like, wow, I'd love to see her topless.
Oh, okay.
Sadly, all the Willis girls seem to look more like Bruce than they do to me. Yeah, they all. He's got very dominant genes, so I feel bad for those girls. They're having a hard time. And now people want to tell us that Katie Holmes is divorcing Tom Cruise not because of Scientology, but because of other personal issues in their relationship. This is the latest in that story. See, I'm not believing any of this anymore because everybody's changing their story all the time.
Right.
It was Scientology, the horrible things they do, and they indoctrinate the kids, and she's protecting Suri. Now it just sounds like she's just got a chapped ass and she's just had a lifetime full of Tom Cruise. This latest story says, according to friends, Cruise treated Katie like a robot. He was her puppet master, in their words, making every major and even minor decision in her personal and professional life. In the end, she felt like she couldn't breathe without his permission. And this is according to TMZ.com.
I can totally see that.
I can, too. He seems like a very controlling dude.
Remember when they first started dating and they went on interviews and she used to be known as Katie Holmes, but he started Kate?
Yeah.
Kate.
Yeah.
That was kind of freaky. And you know, he was going to control what I call you.
He
you
passed a law in their house that she couldn't wear heels. She had to wear flats at all times because she was taller than him.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Apparently, everything started back when Tom executed his rights as boyfriend at the time, back when she was doing the movie Thank You for Smoking in 2005. Sources say that Tom instructed producers to kill any promotional photos that showed Katie and Aaron Eckhart engaged in any kissing or anything else compromising from the film. So any shots of the film, they were love interests in the film. Any shots of them in bed together or kissing, Cruise stepped in and told the producers they had to kill those photos and were not allowed them to be released.
Wow.
Apparently, he also imposed his will during the Batman Begins film that Katie was in, prohibiting Katie from flying with the rest of the cast. Katie would only be allowed to travel on Tom's private jet. One source says that Morgan Freeman, by the way, who, of course, was in that film as Lucius Fox, was disgusted by the situation, saying that Tom Cruise was making every call for her and he felt bad for her.
What would that sound like, Ralph?
Yeah. How would it feel?
Yeah. I feel bad for Katie. She is my friend. I bought her something with Visa.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
Holy birthday candles, Batman!
The boy wonder himself. Burt Ward, Robin of TV's Batman, is 67 years old today. Actor Ned Beatty turned 75. Fred Dreyer, who was on the TV series Hunter for many seasons, he was formerly a football player here in Los Angeles back when L.A. had a football team. Mm-hmm. Remember the Rams?
Yep.
Good old Rams. He is 66 years old today. Sylvester Stallone is 66 as well. Jeffrey Rush turned 61 years old. Brian Posehn from Just Shoot Me and Sarah Silverman, 46 years old today. Inspector Deck of Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang!
Is 42 years old. 50 Cent turns 37. The Maori twins, Tia and Tamara, are 34 years old. But the reason we celebrate the day, and we've been excited all day to be able to play you some of this, the drummer, John Keeble of the band Spandau Ballet. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Get your slow grooves on.
Mm-hmm. I know this much is true.
53 years old today. Oh, I want to put on a skinny tie and go impress some of the ladies with my smooth dance moves. It's true. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That maybe horizon has been defeated. Where do all the good people go? From time to time, doesn't heal. No, not at all. Well, I was sitting, waiting, wishing upside down. Simple as something that nobody knows. Or the eyes are as big as a bubbly toes.
Seriously, I want a palm tree, a chair, a margarita. Let's make this happen. Jack Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, his triumphant return to the world-famous K-Rock here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jack, we missed you. How are you?
I'm great. Well, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I just flew over from Hawaii for 2 days. Kind of lost my voice a little bit, but I'm happy to be here.
How do you lose your voice? You've never spoken above a whisper in your life.
I got 3 kids now. They bring home all kinds of stuff from elementary
school. Oh, there you go. No, yeah. That, pass it around to the whole family?
Yeah.
Yep. You're in Hawaii full-time?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a place stateside at all?
No, not really. I just spend all the time. You know, unless we're touring, we're there.
It really seems to me like you getting on a plane in Hawaii goes against everything in you. You know what I mean? Like, you seem like you love it there so much. Like, you hate to have to leave. Yeah. Plus, the mean airlines make you put on shoes to fly, right?
No, not really. I got slippers on. It's nice, too, because sometimes they'll look down, and when you're at the line where they make you take off all your stuff and put your computers there, and they look down sometimes and say, you don't need to take those off. And I can walk through with these on. Yeah, it's nice.
That's nice. How long have you been living out there in Hawaii now?
You know who does, though? Sorry to cut you off, but I was thinking of Michael Franti from Spearhead.
Right.
Uh-huh. He goes barefoot all the time. The only time he puts on shoes is for airports.
Really?
Well,
no kidding.
Yeah, a few years back when I talked to him, because he just said he didn't like getting hassled, so he just threw on the shoes for the airport.
That's so weird. That, he put them on so that then they would make him take them off and then put them back on.
Yeah.
How long have you been living in Hawaii now, Jack?
Well, I was born and raised there, and then I left to go to college in Santa Barbara.
Right.
And I was there for a while. I lived there and kind of started up the music thing when I was living in Santa Barbara. I started playing little shows after college between San Diego and San Francisco. I used to play the Mint here in L.A.
Sure. So the islands have always been your home, and you figure you'll just live there forever. You don't get any kind of island fever that some people talk about, you know, where it's relatively a small town when you're living there.
Yeah, I hear that term. I just don't know what it means.
Really? You're the opposite.
Yeah.
What about this, in all seriousness, and maybe you escaped this either due to celebrity or being a native Hawaiian, but what about this? We hear from so many other Americans that move to the islands. They go, wow, they sure don't like white people down here. Do you ever run into any problems with something like that?
I don't know. I better ask the guys in the other room.
Never heard that.
You guys like me?
Yeah.
I'm pretty tan.
You're not a white guy, though.
No, you know, it's... Hawaii is an interesting place. A lot of cultures come together. Going to school is a whole different thing there. In the public schools, there's all different ethnicities, different cultures. Mm-hmm. So it's a really interesting place. It's kind of helped me a lot for traveling the world, I find. It's been a great place to grow up.
I would think if you live there, the tourism part of it would not help. You know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean?
Meaning it would be inconvenient? It would drive
just,
you crazy?
Yeah, it's just there's too much. It seems like that's where everybody wants to go is Hawaii, and then there's a bunch of tourists that are always there.
Yeah, you're opening a can of worms because it's, you know, it provides a lot of jobs. There's a lot of arguments why tourism's good. But at the same time, there's a lot of development in Hawaii. They're trying to build a lot of hotels, and it's kind of an ongoing thing of, well, we got to save some land for agriculture, for growing food for ourselves. And So be careful not to open that one with me, because we'll start talking for days. It's what, part of what our foundation does over there, the Kukua Hawaii Foundation, is trying to ask, get kids to ask that question of where does my food come from, because 80% of our food is shipped into Hawaii.
Wow.
And so, you know, we could grow everything there. And so we try to work with the kids, get school gardens established so that they start asking those bigger questions down the line.
Jack, did you see, believe me, I'm not changing the subject here. This is going to come back around to the Kukua Foundation, but did you see the Descendants film?
Yeah, I did.
Are there, and I know that that's not a true story, but are there lots of places that are the world's most desirable land right up against the water that are in danger of being sold and built up? And is that a constant fight in the islands to figure out a way to not take, you know, to not use that land and just let it stay the way it is?
Yeah, that's true. There's quite a bit. There's a spot called Cavella Bay near my house that they want to build a couple of hotels.
You just buy them.
That's not for sale.
Okay. The Kukua Festival, and that's what the Jack Johnson and Friends album that's coming out, and video too, it's to benefit the – you have this Kukua Festival to benefit the foundation every year, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's called the Kukua Festival. It the foundation is the Kukua Hawaii Foundation, and yeah, we've had it 6 different years. It started in 2004. I think we took 1 year off in the middle there somewhere, and it's had all kinds of great people. I had a lot of local musicians, like my friends that are going to play with me in the other room over here.
Yeah, Paula, tell us about them.
That's Paula Fuga and John Cruz, both really well-known musicians in Hawaii. And, yeah, so they're on the album doing a few songs.
Who else is on the album? I saw a lot of stars, too, your
it's
friends.
Unbelievable the guest stars you had for this festival over the
yeah,
years.
Yeah, when we added it all up, it was pretty fun to look at the lineup. And we got Willie Nelson and Jackson Brown, Ben Harper, Eddie Vedder, Dave Matthews, Ziggy Marley, Damian Marley, Taj Mahal.
Wow, probably unbelievable. Now, would you, I'm not asking you to humble brag here or anything, but would you consider these guys your friends as well, or people that you just see for a few minutes on stage?
A lot of them good friends.
How about Willie? You hang out with Willie Nelson?
Willie, I've gotten to hang with him a few times, and I'd like to call it a friendship. Hopefully he does.
Yeah. To me, he's one of the coolest people on the planet.
I would never
run out of questions for Willie Nelson, because he's had the most extraordinary life, and he's one of the greatest songwriters of all time.
That's right. I'll never feel completely comfortable just calling him a friend and not a hero, because he's one of those, I think for all of us, any musician, you know, he's one of the people you put up there. And so just getting to, actually, like my favorite times of Willie have been sitting around with nobody watching, where we just get to have conversations and hang out and even, you know, just strumming the guitar backstage, learning what we're going to play up on the stage are my favorite parts.
Kind of working it out.
Yeah. Ben Harper and me and Willie did a song, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, a very famous song he's done.
And, that's great.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun just to sit around. And my favorite parts are just working it out, really.
Now, this is a serious question, too. When Willie comes to the islands for your festival or vacation or whatever, how does he bring all of his weed in? Or do you just have to buy new when he gets to the islands?
That's an easy answer. He actually lives over there.
Okay. So he grows his own, probably.
He lives on Maui, so it's not an issue.
What'd you think of Eddie Vedder's ukulele playing, which he seems to have been taking very seriously in recent years?
I love it.
I think he's tremendous.
Yeah, yeah. He's, you know, it's something I know he's done for a long time, because he gave me this little home recording years and years ago when we first started hanging out, probably back in like 2000 or something. He gave me this little 5-song EP with all 5 of those songs ended up on the album he put out. But, yeah, so I know he's been doing it for a long time. I love it. I always encourage him to do something more with it.
Jack, do you speak the Hawaiian language as well?
No, I know a lot of different words and different things from growing up. But it's kind of one of those things where it's coming back, which is really nice. There's a few schools that are immersion schools now. But it was a language that was slowly disappearing, and so it's really nice that it's coming back in a strong way. But
immersion,
you know,
I'm sorry, just to interrupt, but immersion is that's all they speak?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. They might have an English class, but everything else is spoken in Alelo Hawaiian.
Sure, a lot of vowels in that language, dude.
Yeah, you know what our our state fish in Hawaii is? The humu humu nuku nuku apua'a.
That's just a joke.
No, it's a real thing. Aloha kakahiaka, that would be good morning. I got all kinds of terms. I go to a little school, which is really sweet, actually. It's like half-half with my youngest daughter, my daughter. And it's really nice because they bring a lot of Hawaiian language in. So we count in Hawaiian. We sing little Hawaiian songs in the morning. And it's really nice because when I was a kid, actually, there was nothing like that. It was
Is that right?
Yeah, and so it's really nice to see how much is coming back and how much more my kids already know than I did at that age.
You know, it's really interesting how we go through phases like that with what we think is cool to teach the kids. Because, I mean, as hard as it is to believe now in multicultural Los Angeles, it wasn't that long ago where, you know, Mexican immigrants to the United States were encouraged to not speak Spanish and not even teach their kids Spanish at home, for instance. No, you've got to only speak English. And it took a long time for it to kind of swing the other way. And now everybody realizes it's such a, you know, it's such a phenomenal resource to be able to speak more than one language. But for a while, it wasn't. It sounds like maybe the same thing was happening in Hawaii where they said, no, no, don't speak Hawaiian. And now it's back again.
Yeah, real similar. You know, a lot of things throughout history in Hawaii, even the hula was outlawed for a long time.
Outlawed.
Yeah,
really?
It was gone. It got brought back, and it was a really big thing when it came back because it, you know, brought back a lot of the culture and the stories, and so it's great to see it coming back stronger.
This is the voice of Jack Johnson. We're going to let him go in the other room in a minute, and he and his friends are going to be performing live for us. When you live in Hawaii, where do you go on vacation?
Las Vegas. Not me so much, but it's pretty funny. That's the number one tourist destination for people from Hawaii.
Is that right, Las Vegas?
Yeah, it's just completely different. You know, get off.
It's the opposite of Hawaii.
Because sometimes you just want noise and traffic and smog and smoking and all the stuff you can't get in Hawaii, right?
Exactly. When I go on tour, that's really my vacation. I take the family with me everywhere. And so we get to go, you know, all kinds of places. Pretty fun. Get to go to Europe and South America and across the states.
Beautiful. The Best of the Kakua Festival, Jack Johnson and Friends, is going to be available everywhere on Tuesday, April the 17th. And what do we have here? We got 13 songs, and that's going to be available as an album you can buy in the stores or download. And there's also a video version. Is that true, Jack, or no?
Is there a video?
Is there a DVD as well?
There's not a DVD. No, I think on the website. What's the website you can go to? Yeah, Kakua Festival. If you go to that website or my website, you can watch most of the videos there. But I think just
Beautiful.
The albums for sale.
You spell Kakua K-O-K-U-A.
K-O-K-U-A, right. That's right.
Great great guest stars, including some wonderful Hawaiian musicians, along with, as you mentioned, you know, Ziggy Marley and Eddie Vedder and Dave Matthews and Ben Harper, Willie Nelson. Oh, so fun. And Zach Gill, who, by the way, I have really become a fan of, thanks to you guys putting him on your label. He's tremendous as well.
You said you were losing your voice. Can you do a song for us?
I'm going to do a song. I'm going to do my best.
Yeah. All right, fantastic.
All right, can't wait. Jack Johnson is here. We'll return, and he'll perform for us live on the Kevin DeBean Show next.
Is this how it's supposed to be?
I think if Jack got more laid back, he would die. You get that idea?
Yeah, right here. I'm sorry. You can hear me? I think Jack has paced himself, and he's going to live to be 150 years old. That's what I think. We are very excited, as we always are, to welcome Jack Johnson to K-Rock. The Best of the Kakua Festival album is going to be available for download and in stores on April the 17th, which is Tuesday. It looks amazing. Jack is here today with two of his friends from Hawaii. John Cruz and Paula Fuga are going to be performing. What song are you guys going to do for us?
We're going to try this one's called Banana Pancakes.
All right. Love to hear it.
Yeah, here we go.
You hardly even notice when I try to show you. The song is meant to keep you doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep in. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend right now. We could pretend it all the time. But can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Just maybe like a ukulele. Mama made a baby. Really don't mind the practice. You're my little lady. Lady, lady, love me. Love to lay you lazy. We could close some curtains. Pretend like there's no world outside. And we could pretend it all the time. Can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, rain all day and I really don't mind. Can't you see, can't you see, we gotta wake up slow. The telephone's saying you're ringing, it's too early, don't pick it up. We don't need to, we got everything we need right here and everything we need is enough. Just so easy when the whole world fits.
inside of your arms. You really need to pay attention to the alarm. Wake up slow. Oh, oh. Wake up slow.
Take a look.
Hardly even notice when I try to show you. The song is meant to keep you from doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Let's go make you banana pancakes till I guess the weekend right now. We could pretend it all the time. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Rain on then, I really don't mind. Can't you see, can't you see? You gotta wake up slow.
Come on.
Yeah, that couldn't have sounded any better.
Wow, that was amazing. Jack Johnson here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Listen, a lot of people are emailing saying they're surprised, A, and glad to hear you because they weren't expecting this. But what are the plans for 2012? Or any chance you'll be coming back to the mainland at all to perform, Jack?
No chance of that, but we're going to do a little tour in Hawaii with Paula and John and myself.
That's fantastic news for our listeners.
I like how you dismiss it immediately.
No, no chance of that.
Well, there's always a chance, I guess. You know, always a chance.
So we'll just keep in touch on the website, I guess, and see where you're at. And eventually, at some point, you'll come back and see your fans over
there. Yeah,
right?
At some point, we will for sure.
Fantastic. Yeah. The Best of the Kukua Festival, available everywhere on April the 17th. And thank you to you, and thanks to John and Paula. That sounded amazing. We really appreciate you guys stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:41. Yeah, you get your money's worth out of listening to that song on our show. That's for sure. It seems like sometime last year, Ralph came in on the Showbiz Beat and he said, guys, it's the end of the world as we know it. They're making a movie about the game Battleship. And we said, Battleship, the game you play when you're a kid where you call out E7-0, you suck my battleship. They're turning that into a movie? He said yes.
I'm going to say this again at the risk of being mocked again. It was pretty good. I liked it. Sorry, Lisa.
Let's get Lisa involved.
It's really not based on the board game. Right. They just took the name, right?
But my point is we all laughed because why are they making Battleship a movie? But here we are in May of 2012, and not only is it out there, it's a huge hit. The thing has made almost $300 million worldwide already, Battleship. And that's pretty good if you're a first-time actor like Rihanna, who made her movie debut in this film and joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Rihanna. Welcome back to the show, my dear. How are you?
Oh, that's right. Wouldn't I see you with the boop, boop, boop?
So
let
how
me tell you, it I waited that go while we made me to see every video.
All right. You lost me there. How did you decide? I mean, you've been a popular singer and very popular with your own videos for a number of years now. How did you decide to make the jump to acting, and why did you choose this film to be the one?
Ah, many times you saw the right time when I sing my song, it's the umbrella. No, sir, the bandy rhythm. No, Tommy, look at that. She be the actor, the crank, that cranny craft, Lulucha with the crab up the cheddar. No, they got a shatter, that umba rakatumbo.
I didn't understand any part of that.
I know, it's not the right thing. No, she got the island style with a blood clot.
All right, I heard blood clot there.
Right.
You don't have a lot of dialogue in the film, though. I mean, I guess that's good for a first-time actor. I mean, most of your acting in this thing is one or two words at a time, right?
Ah, it's right. No, say what be the big run. No, can that see me get under the script? I look at I say, look, boom. No, say fire. No, say but the rukutu, but the chasing by higher No, say but no higher marakutumbo near the beach.
You know what's weird, Rihanna, is that when you're talking in the movie, we can understand what you're saying. Let me just play a clip. This is you from Battleship.
My dad said they'd come. Said it my whole life. He said one day we'd find them or they'd find us. You know what else he said? He said, hope I ain't around when that day comes.
Oh, nice. How come you can't talk like that to us?
I say, but Rin who took about Handumba Papu, so when the director, he said to me, Rusa, action, me, Miriana say, my dad said they come, he said they're my whole life. I said, put a rocketum boat, no, sir, can I? Me put the lime in the coke and shake them both up.
I didn't get that part. I did get that part. What about this famous line that I imagine was difficult to make not sound ridiculous? Play the clip from Battleship that everybody will know Rihanna from.
Mahalo, mother.
Nope, that's not it. We don't have it.
That's the one.
Oh, that's the one? Okay.
That's the one, yes.
The one
that's
where she says boom.
No, that's your line. Mahalo, mother effer.
Hey, what's wrong with Kevin, man?
I don't know, Rihanna. Songs are running out. You can't keep track of the interview.
Back in Barbados, we call a guy like Kevin. We say, hey, retarded man. Hey, you want to drink too much rum?
Now we can understand. How come we can understand you so well now?
How come I can understand you, retard?
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock at 9:50 in the a.m. Thanks so much for tuning in this week to the best of Kevin and Bean while the boys have been on vacation. We sure miss them, don't we?
Nope.
Yeah, we do, Omar.
We do?
Yep.
Okay.
As far as you know,
yeah.
We absolutely miss them. And we're looking forward to them coming back on Monday for a brand new, all spanking new Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, though, while I have limped through the showbiz beat for the past couple weeks. Little life support system for the Kevin and Bean Show while we kept going while the boys were on vacation, but we'll be happy to have them back on Monday. It's the last showbiz beat of the week, so let's go out on a high note, shall we, before we get to that song we all know and love. Top 10 richest actors in the world. The list was released today by Forbes magazine. Fascinating numbers. It's hard to wrap your head around some of the money that actors make and professional athletes. It's crazy. We live in a world where we are spoiled by the information that we have. And I think you hear these numbers thrown around and you just get used to them. But when you really think about it, and try to as I go through this list, think about the fact that Taylor Lautner and Robert Pattinson, who are tied for 10th on the Forbes list of best paid actors over the past 12 months, are tied with $26.5 million each. That's what they each earned over the past 12 months, boys and girls.
That's a lot of cheese.
That's a calendar year.
Yeah.
In the course of a year, they made $26.5 million. And for that, for what they did, mm-hmm. for those movies, that's what they made. Mark Wahlberg, my movie son. I couldn't be more proud of him.
Right.
Ninth on the list, $27 million he made in the past year. Yeah. What? No. Sixth on the list, it's a three-way tie between Sacha Baron Cohen, Johnny Depp, and Will Smith. I guess no Pirates movie this year. That's why Johnny Depp is only sixth on the list. They each made $30 million a pop.
Ain't shabby.
Ben Stiller made $33 million. Put him fifth on the list. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, $36 million made over the past 12 months, made him fourth on the top 10 list. There was a two-way tie next between Leonardo DiCaprio and Adam Sandler, each making $37 million a year, or this past year at least. So it's $37 million. You would think that would be enough to make you number one on the list, right? Mm-hmm. You would be wrong to the tune of almost three times that amount. Number one on the list, Tom Cruise, $85 million he made in the past year.
Unbelievable.
Katie Holmes better not start her own car. That's all I'm telling you, because he's got the kind of coin that can make people disappear. While we're talking about Tomcat, as they are known, more details coming out about their divorce. And when I say more details, I mean just more random speculation and gossip that I'm reporting as fact.
Right.
So keep that in mind. Besides the Scientology angle that everyone seems to be jumping on, it seems like, again, according to sources close to Katie Holmes, you can read all about this on TMZ.com, people are saying the main reason behind the split is that Katie Holmes could no longer take being controlled by Tom Cruise. He treated her like a robot, says the headline. Making every major and even minor decision in her personal professional life, after 5 years, she could just no longer bear it and she had to move on. This happened not only in her personal life, but across the board in terms of her work. When she was doing that movie, Thank You for Smoking, there's cited examples. Batman Begins as well. Tom Cruise would stick his nose into her business. So apparently, just enough was enough. I don't think we'll ever really know the answer. Who knows what goes on behind people's closed doors, but there certainly seems to be a lot of smoke to this fire, and you could see where if any of these accusations
or these stories that are coming out from these so-called sources are true, you could see why somebody would want to get out of that relationship.
David Beckham knows what happens
behind
closed doors.
Knows, that's right.
I'm so happy to be in Los Angeles. I'm never leaving because of my good friend Tom Cruise. Yep. We have a good time together, we do.
Justin Bieber's in the news. Just got his high school diploma. So naturally, they asked the Biebs, what's next? Where are you going to study? Where are you going to for higher education? What college would you like to attend? He said, that's it. This is where his education ends. Here's Justin's quote. And it's spectacular. Because keep in mind, the guy just said he's not going to get any more education. Mm-hmm. I can't say, like, I'm never going to, like, go to college. But at this point, I'm not, like, planning on it, Justin Bieber said. Oh, Biebs.
You're going to end it with the bro?
Oh, bro. Hey, bro. The Biebs. He's the man.
Yeah.
Chris Rock, a little controversy this week with a tweet that he posted on July 4th on the holiday. He said, happy white people's Independence Day. The slaves weren't free, but I'm sure they enjoyed fireworks. Aw, slam, boom. Suck on that, all you slave owners. How do you like that? All you plantation owners reading your Twitter. How do you like that? Yeah, that'll teach you to own those. Oh, wait a minute. That was a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Some people are very upset, saying that was unpatriotic of him. And there are other people, some militant activist African Americans are saying, he's right, so what are you going to do now? Huh? Punk? Or something to that effect. I'm not sure. Looks like The Amazing Spider-Man is going to be huge beyond words. First 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, it pulled in $59.3 million. That's a lot of money. They say they're predicting by the end of the weekend, by Sunday, $140 million is what it will have made. So let's see. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 6 days?
Sixth mile.
Craziness. Khloe Kardashian says she's happy to be home in Los Angeles. Mrs. Lamar Odom tells In Touch Weekly magazine she had absolutely no friends in Dallas. What a shock. She seems like such a charmer. She was positively miserable and is so excited to get back to California. Couldn't we made some sort of deal where the Mavericks had to keep Khloe in order for the Clippers to get Lamar?
Say it, Fatso.
But apparently she's back in town. I don't know how I feel about that. I kind of like knowing there was one less Kardashian in my city as I drove around.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now she's back.
And she counts as two.
Yeah, it's true. Double up. Chances of you hitting a Kardashian with your car have doubled with her in town. And now we know who may be taking over for Regis Philbin on Live with Kelly Ripa. Showbiz 411 reports that Seth Meyers is currently the front runner to succeed Regis. He's a likable dude.
Yeah. He's funny.
Funny guy.
Yeah.
The other celebrities in the running, Michael Strahan, they say, has a good shot at sitting next to Kelly. And Josh Groban.
Josh Groban, really?
Yeah.
That dude is
hilarious. He's a funny guy, he's very really personable. Yeah. He could absolutely do it. Yeah. If Seth gets the nod, and they said they'll announce who's been picked before the new fall season starts in September, he said he will have to give up his job as Saturday Night Live writer, but he would still host the show's Weekend Update segment because they do shoot in New York there, that live show, so he could do both.
Oh, that's great.
So he gets to have two gigs. Pretty cool. All right, before we say goodbye for the weekend, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actor Ned Beatty is 75 years old. The original Robin the Boy Wonder, Burt Ward from the Batman TV show, is 67 years old. He's a man wonder now. He's an old man wonder. Fred Dreyer from the TV series Hunter many years ago, one of my favorite shows, 66 years old. Sylvester Stallone, also 66. Jeffrey Rush, very talented actor, turned 61 years old today. Brian Posehn from Just Shoot Me and Sarah Silverman is 46. Inspector Deck of Wu-Tang Clan,
Wu-Tang,
42 years old. 50 Cent is 37. Tia and Tamara. Anyway, the Maori twins, they are 34 years old. But the reason we've been celebrating all day long is just the joy we felt when we found out that John Keeble, drummer for Spandau Ballet, was 53.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. Oh, we got to hang a mirrored disco ball in this studio. Turn the lights down low. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. All skate, everybody. Love that, too. How much tail I got to that song back in the day?
No, a lot.
A lot.
Good stuff.
It was mostly dudes, but still.
Hey, what the?
Thanks so much for tuning in this week. Again, Monday morning, it's a brand new Kevin and Bean show with the original members, Kevin and Bean, returning to the band. In the meanwhile, have yourself a great weekend. Let's play that song we all know and love so much. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Don't bogart that joint.
Yeah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana, cannabis sativa.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's a groovy way of relaxing, opening your senses.
Roll another one.
I love weed, okay? I love it.
Just like the other one.
Now's the time to introduce the joints.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
These guys need to turn those frowns upside down. And I got just the thing for that. We call it Doobie Snacks.
You are high as a kite.
Roll another one.
Oh man, am I f***ing stoned.
Just like the other one.
Let's blast a joint.
This one seems to be about to.
Now it's time to get super duper high.
Very functional when we're high, which is all the time.
Just pass it around.
It's like Cypress Hill concert in here.
I love weed, okay? I love it.
Just pass it on down.
Well, what did everybody think?
That stunk.
Worst episode ever.
I'd like to thank you all for being here. I'd like to thank my guests. I'd like to thank the greatest audience in the world. I'm out.
Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
I need meat.
You're a quitter. Only fools quit.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99. Peace.